welcome to Planet Shakers Church. We are so excited to have you with us today. I'm going to be speaking a sermon called Fire Feeders, what you feed the fire of God in your life. Sit back, relax, open up your spirit and receive from God today. A few weeks ago, I started, when I was talking about supernatural increase, I spoke a sermon on firestorm, and that there's a triangle of fire for fire to be created. There's oxygen that comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit. There is heat that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's fuel. You need these three things to see a fire start. And I talked about fuel is hunger, and that's our job. The oxygen of God and the power of God is God's responsibility, and we create the fuel to create fire. In the upper room, they were in one accord in one place, and there came from heaven like a sound of a mighty windstorm. That's the oxygen of heaven. And there became tongues of fire. That's the heat of heaven, the power of God. And God gave them the ability to speak in other languages and gave them the ability to see transformation, and God empowered them. Acts 1:8 says you receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So we talked about how the fire of God comes upon us, but it's our fuel, what we bring, that actually keeps the fire going. And if there's no fuel, the fire burns out eventually. And we talked about how that's our responsibility. So I want to continue on this theme, because supernatural increase comes by agreement. It comes by hunger. It comes by positioning yourself. And so I want to talk to you on the topic fire feeders. So what are you feeding the fire? I travel a lot, and when I get to check in at airports, they always ask me, do you have anything flammable in your luggage? Do you have anything that could catch a light? Whether it's a battery, whether it's, you know, I don't know what people carry in their bags, but is there anything flammable? And it's in the negative, because they're scared that something will catch fire and the plane could explode, whatever. But I'm here to ask you, have you bought anything flammable this morning for God to take hold of and create a fire that literally releases His glory? Have you got anything that will feed the fire that God has for your life? Fire feeders. You know, the Bible says that God is an all-consuming fire. That's what the Bible says in Deuteronomy 4:25. It says, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire and a jealous God. Now, God isn't insecure. He's not like, oh, they love other things more than me. He's not that. That's not what jealousy is talking about. It's talking about He's jealous for His children. In other words, He wants the best for His children, and He understands when you put Him first, you will be looked after. If you put you first, you won't be looked after. He's jealous for your attention because He created you for intimacy. He wants to have intimacy and relationship with you, and He's a consuming fire. God is a God of fire. When they waited for the Holy Spirit to come upon them, one of the signs was fire. When they would build the tabernacle and they would come from the outer court into the tabernacle, into the Holy of Holies, there was a place that God had created called the altar of God, and that in Leviticus chapter 9:24, I'll read it to you. It says this, fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. In other words, there was fuel on the altar for the fire to connect with. The Bible says in Leviticus 6 verse 12, He says, the fire on the altar must keep burning. Everyone say, must keep burning. It must not go out. Every morning the priest is to add fire, wood, and arrange the burnt offerings on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship offerings on it. And the fire must keep burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out. See, God was giving a picture here of the presence of God in our lives, that our job, his job is to create the fire. Our job is to put things on the altar so the fire keeps burning. God wants you to be a more hungry Christian, a more passionate Christian. The older you get, not be passionate at the beginning and lose your fire along the way. And God gives a picture in the Old Testament that the priests, the ministers of God, and the Bible says in the New Testament, we're all kings and priests. So that means each of us has a responsibility to keep the fire burning in our life. God creates a fire. We feed the fire. The wood they would have to put on every day so the fire would keep burning. The fat and the offering they would have to put on every day to keep the fire burning. God's given us wood to keep the fire burning. It's called the Word of God. And we feed the fire of God through His Word. We feed the fire of God through His presence. We feed the fire of God through worship. Keep the fire burning. I've seen people start hungry for God and they allow things big into their life because they start feeding other fires instead of God's fire. And God says, I'm a jealous God. I'm a consuming fire. In fact, when we die from this earth, when we go from this earth to the next, when we go to heaven, or if we don't know Jesus, we go to hell. That's the truth. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:13 that everything we do will be tested by fire. And what is of God will last and what is not of God will be burnt up. So what gets burnt up is the things that we fed that aren't the fire of God, they're other fires. The things of God that will remain is what we fed for the glory of God. We gave our lives for His kingdom. And so they're the things that remain. So what we feed in the fire of God remains for eternity. What we feed in the flesh gets burned up. What we feed in the temporal gets burned up. So when you understand that you feed the fire of God today, so when the fire of God hits you in heaven, it remains. Amen? See, the fire must keep burning. So here's the thing about the fire of God. God is a God of fire. He appeared to Moses in a burning bush. Fire. Fire is symbolic of God's presence. In other words, keep feeding the presence of God. Yeah. Because if you keep feeding the right things, you keep building the right things. God is a God of fire. Fire was symbolic of God's presence. And we see in Scripture, as I read before, God starts a fire. In Acts chapter 2, He started the fire. They didn't start the fire, He started the fire. It's their hunger that fed the fire. So God's called us to be fire feeders. The Bible says in Matthew 3:11, they're a little bit behind. In Matthew 3:11, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who's more powerful than I, whose sandal I'm not worthy to carry. This is John the Baptist talking about Jesus. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Everyone say fire. Fire. See, fire feeders release a greater heat that blesses people. In John chapter 12, there's a story, because I want to look at this story about some principles of how do you feed fire. In John chapter 12, Lazarus had been raised from the dead, and the family's excited. You know, it's exciting when God does miracles, right? It's exciting when a dead person who's been dead for 4 days gets risen from the dead. That's exciting. You see, as excited as Mary and Martha were at the raising of their brother, they need to be continually excited about it. You see, we think, well, if God raised somebody from the dead in my life, then I'll be excited even more. Well, guess what? He did. You say, what? Every one of you who's born again has been risen from the dead. you were dead in your trespasses, you're dead in your sins, but Jesus came and became the substitute and he took away your sin. You were headed for destruction and now you're headed for eternal life. You were headed for hell and now you're headed for heaven. God has risen you from the dead. The Bible says that Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6 that you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. In other words, my spirit man is alive because Jesus has risen me and now I'm dead to my past and I'm alive to my future. If you believe that, would you give God a praise? Lazarus is risen from the dead, and there they are, sitting around McDonald's or wherever, eating, celebrating. And Mary comes in, and she has an expensive pint of nard perfume. It's worth a year's wage. It was supposed to be used for her wedding night. And she comes and she pours it on Jesus' feet, which is an amazing accomplishment right there. And then she uses her hair to wipe his feet. As I've told people many times, if that was me, it'd be like a roll-on deodorant on his feet. And so Jesus is there. She releases atmosphere into this room. She's passionate, she's grateful. And Judas gets ticked and says, this money could have been given to the poor. Guess what? That's how the enemy works. He tries to take a part of truth and make it seem like reality. But Jesus isn't, you know, he's like, yeah, well, you always have the poor, but she's preparing me for my burial. In other words, she's preparing me to die for the sins of the world. Her giving is so prophetic that she's setting up generations to receive a fire that cannot be put out. And so Judas gets mad, but Jesus defends her honor, and he's standing there excited about what she's done. And the Bible says that Judas objected, why wasn't this money sold and given to the poor? It's worth a year's wage. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but he was a thief, and as a keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus. I love Jesus, bit of attitude. Leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. So here's some keys out of this story of how to keep your fire fed. First thing is fire feeders are grateful and thankful. Gratefulness and thankfulness keeps the fire burning. If you lose your gratefulness for what God has done in your life and you just get familiar, your fire dies down. But if you keep grateful and thankful, oh, I'm so thankful you saved me. I'm so thankful that you healed me. I'm so thankful that you raised me up with Christ Jesus. I'm so thankful that you blessed me. I'm so thankful that you put me in a church that can experience the presence of God. I'm so thankful I can put on a worship CD and encounter you. I'm so thankful I can open up the Bible and read the Word of God, which is live and active. I'm thankful that I've got people around me who love Jesus. I'm thankful for my job. I'm thankful for my family. I'm grateful for what you have done. If you're thankful about what Jesus has done in your life, would you give him a praise like you're thankful? Would you give him? You see, when you're grateful and thankful, it keeps the fire burning. That's why we continually testify, because the Bible says they overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the power of their testimony. In other words, what Jesus did by his blood, shedding his blood, forgiving us of sin, by his stripes we are healed, and then we testify because testimony shows how grateful we are for what the blood has done in our life, the blood of Jesus that has set us free. And when we testify, we release a thankfulness and we release a praise that we can enter his courts with thanksgiving. Why do you think the altar of the fire of God was at the front of the tabernacle? Because they had to come in with thankfulness. They had to come in with gratefulness. Enter his courts with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. You see, when you praise God, you set an atmosphere over your life that you feed the fire. If you come and worship God like this, Well, I'm thankful in my heart, Pastor. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, your praise shows who you are as a person. Yeah. It doesn't show your personality, it shows your gratefulness. Yeah. Well, my personality, I'm excited, Pastor Russell. Can't you tell? No. You know, people come into our church, I hear this all the time. All the time. Non-church people, never been in church in their life. They come in, they go, when we walk in, the screens and the lights and the dancers are like, wow, this is like a concert. It ain't a concert, because then they walk in and they go, but there's something different here. The people are so happy. There's such a great atmosphere. Why? Because they've walked into a heap of grateful, thankful people who decided that they weren't going to be boring old fart Christians who sit there and go, church should be the most exciting place. Sorry if that word offended you. Get a life. You know, because here's religion. Religion tries to take our gratefulness away. And it tries to put our gratefulness in process instead of a person. We have to do it the right way. No. I'm just grateful. I'm just thankful. And the problem is, the more you go in Christ, we should become more grateful. Because the Bible says His mercies are new every morning. I better hurry up. The second thing to feed your fire, passion and hunger. Keeps the fire strong. Passion and hunger. Are you hungry? I've told this story, I think, before. Yeah, I have, but some of you wouldn't have heard it. My grandfather, he kept his hunger from the age of 17 to the age of 96. He had disappointment, he had hurt, he had good times, he had challenging times, but he kept his hunger, he kept his passion for Jesus up. When his wife was sick, he kept passionate. When she was healed, he kept passionate. When his church was doing well, he kept hungry. When it wasn't doing as good, he kept hungry. That's why, as a church, we continue to be hungry. He came to me when he was 86. He says, Russell, I want to start a church in the outback of Australia. I said, Grandpa, you're blind. He was blind by then. He couldn't see. I said, Grandpa, just retire. He says, I will never retire. I will refire because I'm training for reigning. When I all this is a rehearsal for heaven. And I plan to take a lot of people there, he said. He already had seen that. He came up to me next week. He said, look, I need you to find somebody to go with me. I can't see you. Outback of Australia. I said, yeah, no problems, Grandpa. I lied. I was saying I was looking for somebody, but I wasn't. I thought, no, you're too old. Next week he came to me and he says, Russell, you got anyone? I said, oh, still looking, Grandpa. I've repented since, so don't worry. None of you religious people who never have told a lie in your life. Right. And so I'm like, I was young too. And so he came to me next week. Have you found that person? No. Still looking. And I'd pretend to look. Would that put? No, that person couldn't. No, too busy. He did this for 3 months, every week. Found that person. I'm like, Grandpa, just sit down and watch Days of Our Lives or listen to it or something like that. Listen to the radio. Listen to your Welsh hymns. All right. But he didn't settle. After 3 months, he says, I found my own young person. We're going next week. We hired a plane because commercial doesn't fly into that city. And we're getting a plane, and he's going with me, and we're going to start a Pentecostal church in that city of 2,000 people. He lands, and they go door knocking. Hey, my name is Pastor Tommy Evans. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the power of Jesus. And we're going to start a Pentecostal church in this town at the end of the month. He door knocked every house. After a month, they started a service in a house and it had 60 people. It grew to 100 people. After 2 months, he thought, I've done my job. I've started a fire. Gets on a plane, says to my father, you need to send a pastor to that town because there's now a church of 100 people. What did he do? He kept his hunger and passion. He said to me, when I die, I want to die preaching the gospel. He got his prayer. He was preaching in my uncle's church. He was blind. Somebody was letting him up on the platform. He tripped. He broke his hip. He thought to himself, I'm in pain, but I'm not going to give this opportunity up for preaching the gospel. So he put his leg up and he preached with a broken hip. 2 days later, he died. Why? Because he kept his hunger. Some of us can't even keep our hunger for 3 weeks, let alone 30 years. Why? Because we're feeding other fires instead of, we're feeding our career fire, our family fire, which are all good things, our finance fire, but we're not putting God first. Because this is what people do. They go, well, I put God first, family second, jobs third, you know, study, whatever. Yeah, hobbies fourth, holidays fifth, whatever. And we have a hierarchy of system, but God says, no, it doesn't work like that. I'm first, so I'm first in your family. I'm first in your finance. I'm first in your career. I'm first in your hobbies. I'm first in your downtime. I'm first in your uptime. I'm first. I'm number one in every part of this. So if I'm first, the first thing you don't give up on is the things that you put God first in. Amazing that people go, well, I'm too busy now. I'm pulling out of involvement in church. It's God's method for revival. And the very first thing they pull out of is involvement. Doesn't make sense to me. What that says to me, I'm feeding another fire other than this. Fire is kept burning, number three, by not letting others put it out. Judas tried to put out her fire. You know, so many times, worry what people think. We worry that, you know, if we get too excited for Jesus, that people, what will people think? They'll think you're excited for Jesus. Now, here's a challenge in life sometimes, is, you know, when we're talking about passion for God, it's never to be, look at us passion. You ever seen people in church and they look like they're passionate, but they're really wanting attention? Don't worry, we see those people and we deal with that. Because the problem is then the devil lies to some of you and he says, don't get too excited because you don't want to look like that. That is the flesh. We want you to be in the spirit. So we clap your hands, shout to God, do whatever God has called you to do. And so instead of letting someone else who's putting a false fire put your fire off, create a fire that burns out everything that's false. Second thing, your fire shows up other people's lack of fire. So they'll criticize you for being too fire-filled because you are showing their lack of fire. Well, look at that, too excited. Amazing what people make up. I remember one time there was this move of God happening in the body of Christ and people were laughing in the spirit, people were laughing. And someone came into a church one day and says, oh, they're cynical, right? And they said, they're gassing in laughing gas through the air conditioning. This is how illogical they were. So I heard about it and I said, well, why aren't you laughing? It's the same gas in the atmosphere. Well, they're just trying to dampen someone else's hunger. Sit there with a religious, cynical spirit. See, we want God to do whatever he can, but we don't put our focus on the manifestation. We put the focus on the manifester. So God can move, he can touch people, he can cry, he can dance, he can shout. But our focus isn't you, friend. I'm sorry, but our focus is him. And if our focus is him, I'm not worried what you think, and I'm not worried what you think, and I'm not worried what you think. My focus is him. And if my focus is him, my clap is for him. If my focus is him, my dance is for him. If my focus is him, my giving is for him. Stop letting people take your fire. They're thieves. Judas was a thief. He was stealing money for his own benefit. I'm not saying people are stealing your money. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is them trying to take your passion away is trying to steal from your breakthrough. Stop listening to people who don't have what you have. Some of you, well, I'm not like that. Well, good on you. Come and be like this. But don't look at me, look at him. Why I do this is him. Why we praise is him. Why we sing is him. Why we give is him. Everything is him, 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 him. In him I live and move and have my being. Not in you, not in you, not in you, not in you. In him I live. So stop trying to make me live like you. Oh, I better hurry. Fire is kept burning by positioning yourself and having vision. You keep your fire burning by positioning and vision. See, in the upper room, they were waiting for the Holy Spirit. They positioned themselves. And they were waiting for the kingdom of God to come. God was giving them vision. As soon as you lose vision, you stop positioning. But you should position yourself even more when the enemy tries to attack your vision. If you position yourself, the vision will come. Why do you think the devil tries to isolate and tries to take? The Bible says he's like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. So a lion wants to separate people from the herd, because not people, but animals from the herd. That's how lions work. They want to separate them so they can attack them in isolation. But when the herd is together, the lion can't infiltrate. A lion can't get in. So he'll try to intimidate, to disperse. He'll try to intimidate, to isolate. But here's the truth. When you come together in one accord and you say, we're together in this, we are positioning ourselves for supernatural increase. We are positioning ourselves for a breakthrough. And although the enemy tries to lie about that person and that person and that person, I am not letting offense get in me. I'm not letting disappointment get in me. I'm going to believe, believe, believe. Oh. Position yourself. Where two agree concerning anything, the enemy wants to separate. Whom God has joined together, let no man separate. And a man is you or me. So we can choose to separate because of offense. We can choose to separate because we've been hurt. We can choose to separate from God because he didn't do what we thought he was going to do. But I decided a long time ago, I'm going to live in supernatural increase. I'm going to be connected with my God. I'm going to be connected with God's people. I'm going to be a believer in God and believer of the God in people. And even though they might disappoint me at times, I'm going to look and see greatness in them. I better hurry up. Fire, lastly, is fed by giving your all. Bible says to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, Romans chapter 12. For this is your reasonable service. Reasonable. You know why? Why is it reasonable that I give God my all? Because he gave everything I have is his. So it's reasonable to think if he gave me breath to breathe, then my life is about him. If he gave me money and my job, you say, well, no, my education got you your job. No, who gave you a brain? He gave you the ability to learn. God. Melbourne University didn't give you your education. God gave you your education and he allowed Melbourne University to teach you. You know, when my kids were younger, we'd go to McDonald's. Now they don't go, but I do. And I'd see kids operate like this over the years, that'd get their chips and their food, and a kid would go, I want to take their chip. No, that's my chip. Parent would try to take it. No, it's my chip. You know, if that was my kid that I tried to take their chips and they said no, this is what I would immediately think. Who do you think you are? I paid for the chips. In fact, I could buy all the chips in this restaurant and I'm not going to give you any more chips. I'm going to just create chips for me because you're not sharing the chips. you little chip stingy person. All these chips. You want me to share these chips? Yeah, they're my chips. No, they're not your chips. I paid for them. Well, I'm eating them. Well, share them. No. All right. I'm going to buy them for someone else. See, we think that when we give our life to God, we're doing Him a favor. And when He says, share your life, no, it's my life. Share your talents, no, it's my talents. Share your finance, no, my finance. They're my chips. And God says, are you for real? I paid for the chips. I paid for your talent. I dreamed your gift. I created you in my image. Everything you are is me anyway. So share. And this is what God says. And if you share, I'll give you more. So if you give me my all, you give your all to me, you'll get all in return. But if you're stingy, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. I'm only going to give you a few chips because you won't share them. But he who sows generously, hey, everyone at McDonald's, here's my chips. Free.
Hey, everyone at McDonald's, here's my chips.
Reap. Free.
Generously.
Will reap.
Children went and gave
generously. If my children went and gave food to other people, they'd do anyway. They'd go, Dad, could I have some money? I'd go, what's it for? He said, lunch. I said, well, how much you want? $30? I'm like, lunch isn't $30. She goes, oh, there's four people with us. I'm like, well, get their parents to pay for it. But they're like, no, Dad, we're a sharing family. I'm like, who you been talking to? Mum. See, I can't give other people what I don't give God. It's my reasonable service or worship to give my all. He gave me His all, so I am no longer a sinner. I'm the righteousness of Christ. I'm no longer bound, I'm free, because through the Son, who the Son sets free is free indeed. I have an eternity in heaven. Why? Because fire feeders feed the fire with their lives. That's why I started this sermon with 1 Corinthians 3:13. Everything you do with your life will be tested by fire, and what is of God will remain, and what is not of God will be burnt up. And it says some will get into heaven by the skin of their teeth. I don't want to get into heaven by the skin of my teeth. I want to get to heaven by God saying, well done, you good and faithful servant. You fed the fire that I started. You fed the things of God that I put in your life. Don't feed other things. Be fire feeders. Now my question to you, as I started, do you have anything inflammable on you? Do you have any gratefulness? Do you have any thankfulness? Do you have anything inflammable on you? Do you have any passion and hunger for God? Do you not worry what people think? You're going to just get full on for God? Are you an all-in person? Like, here I am, Lord, everything is yours. Good. Because out of that, you can feed the fire of God to spread. You know, the Bible says this. I close with this. The Bible says, don't pray for the harvest because the harvest is ripe, but pray for the laborers because the laborers are few. What is that saying? They're saying the harvest is an issue, it's the hunger of the laborers. They're not feeding the fuel or the fire, they're not putting fuel in the fire so it can spread so other people can enjoy the heat. Why? Because we live for ourselves instead of living for Him. But if all of us fed the fire, it would spread. We're so glad that you joined us today.
We're so honored that you join us in listening to what God's doing here at Planet Shakers. We believe that God wants to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. We'd love to connect with you, whether it's on Facebook, whether it's on Instagram or any social media platform, or email us at church@planetshakers.com. Tell us what God's doing in your life. We'd love to connect with you. See you next week. It's going to be amazing. I pray the blessing of God on you this week. See you soon.